Special welcome this morning to those that are joining us online and those that are joining us via the radio on KTCU. We are glad that you are with us, that no matter where you are this morning, that you are a part of our worshiping community. And we are glad that you have chosen to spend your morning with us. I want to let you know that this morning, when I arrived early this morning, there was a note that was taped to my door. And I just want to read this to you this morning. It simply says, "Kind sir, compassionate leader, and devoted horn frog. Before you mention yesterday's game from the pulpit, please be mindful that there are a few, albeit a very few, of your flock for whom this is a day of mourning. What would Jesus do? Signed, Sam Ellinger, UT quarterback. P.S., all means all, is what it says down there. And so we give thanks to the TCU Horned Frogs for putting us in a good mood on this Commitment Sunday. That worked out very well, I would agree. So grounded in gratitude, revealed in prayer, shaped in ministry and in faith. These are the steps along the discipleship journey that we have been engaged in for the last several weeks. The steps that we have been using as the basis for growing in our generosity. The emphasis of the series that we are wrapping up this morning. And along this journey, we have been asked to pray every single day. You've been invited to pray, God, what do you want to do through me? That based on the goodness of your goodness in my life, where do you want me to be in my giving? Well, this morning I want to invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, which is found in the New Testament among the epistles, the letters. Hebrews is a letter originally attributed to the Apostle Paul, but scholars going all the way back to the early days doubt that Paul is actually the author of this letter. Modern scholars don't know exactly who did write it, but suggest that someone was trying to imitate Paul in this writing. Now, don't tell this to Paul, but how we know it was not him is that it is more polished and more eloquent than Paul's writings, that it is more carefully composed, that the Greek is more sophisticated and graceful. I think that's a little bit of a slap in the face to Paul. You try to imitate him, and you end up showing him up. I think that's a little harsh, but that's another sermon for another time. Scholars believe that it was written to Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who were being persecuted for their faith, and they was encouraging them to hold on, to persevere. That some of them, it was believed, were considering turning back to Judaism. And so the author, whoever it was, is encouraging them to hold on to their faith in Jesus, to remain faithful. And here in the 11th chapter, where we will be reading from this morning, they describe people from their history who have been faithful. And we are given several examples in the 11th chapter, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses. And here in verse 8, we turn to the example of Abraham and Sarah and how they were faithful and how they stepped out in faith even when the path ahead was unclear. And so I invite you to listen now to this reading from the book of Hebrews.
The scripture today is from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 19. Here begins the reading. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power for procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself with barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars in the heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance, they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners in the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Here ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So several years ago, I took my kids to the San Diego Zoo. Now, my daughter Ella loves giraffes, and so we stood and watched the giraffes for a long time. And one of the things that I noticed while we were standing there is that there was not, in this giraffe enclosure, like a huge moat or a large retaining wall. There was not an electric fence. There was simply a ditch, about knee-deep, just a couple feet wide. And if you look at that, the truth is that these giraffes are essentially maybe three steps from freedom. But yet they are trapped by fear that they will stumble and fall, and break their necks. They're not alone, of course. The African impala, the residents of southern and eastern Africa, they are amazing leapers. In fact, the impala can leap sometimes up to 10 feet high, and in one leap can cover a distance of about 30 feet, but yet these magnificent animals can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo that's only about 3 feet high. And zoologists will tell you that they won't jump if they can't see where their feet will fall. That they can't jump, they won't jump if they can't see where their feet will fall. I wonder how many of us live the exact same way. Imprisoned by fear, afraid to jump. Now, I'm sure that there were some that would say that that's a wise, conservative approach to life. Don't jump if you can't see where your feet are going to land. We even have an adage for that, don't we? We say things like, look before you leap. But is that the way that God wants us to live? Is that the way that God created us to live? Or does God want for us to live lives of faith, with a willingness to move forward, to grow, to leap? At the start of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where we read just a minute ago, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's how the chapter begins. And I would argue that that's a fairly good working definition of faith. To be sure of what we are hoping for, to be certain about those things that we can't see. But yet that sounds like the very opposite of look before you leap. You see, I think faith is jumping without being able to see where your faith and your feet will land. There's an old story about a little boy on the second floor of a burning building. And the dad is below yelling, "Jump! Jump, son, jump! I will catch you!" But the smoke and the flames are a lot and make it difficult, make it impossible for the little boy to see his father. He can hear him, but he can't see him. So the boy cries out, "Dad, but I can't see you." and the father standing on the ground can look up and see his son silhouetted by the orange glow of the fire. And he simply reassures him and says, "That's okay, son. I can see you. And I promise that I will catch you." In many ways, that's sort of what happened in the story we heard just a minute ago, the type of faith that the writer of Hebrews is commending. Abraham is the example of that kind of faith. Did you hear what it said? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and as he set out, not knowing where he was going. Goes on to say, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Now the story begins in the land of Ur, which is present-day Iraq. Abraham was minding his own business and God called and says, "Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I will show you." And I can imagine that afternoon, Abraham went home and said to his wife Sarah, "Honey, guess what? We're going." And Sarah says, "Okay, tell me where are we going?" And it was at that moment that Abe sort of scratched his wrinkled, bald head and says, "Well, I don't rightly know." Now, I don't know about your spouse, but I can tell you how that'd go in my house. Am I right, Kelly? You think moving to Texas from California was one thing. "I don't know" would have been a whole nother conversation. And something tells me that Sarah, if she's anything like Kelly, might have a few more questions to ask. Some would point out, and I think rightly so, that it's actually Sarah that exhibits the deeper faith in this story. That she didn't have that same encounter, that same conversation with God, that there was no direct call from the clouds, there was no confirmation of the soul like Abraham had, which is why, as the writer says, Sarah was faithful. Because she believed the one who had made a promise would do what God said God would do. And so they went, not knowing where they were going. They leapt, not knowing where their feet would land. Martin Luther King once said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase." And I would argue that oftentimes God's call seems a lot like that, doesn't it? It's not always sharply defined. It's not always clear. Sometimes it's just sort of a nudge that feels like a command. And that's why Abraham and Sarah lifted up as people of faith, because they went where God told them to go, even though they didn't know where that was going to be. They took that first step, even when they couldn't see the whole staircase. Now, I think what's important for us to notice here is that they weren't people of faith because they believed in God. They were people of faith because they believed God when God made a promise. And they trusted that God would follow through on that promise. Now, the story goes on to tell us that they lived in a tent in the wilderness because they believed that God, that one day God would provide a home in a land and a city, as we heard, with eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Maybe you could say it this way, that Abraham and Sarah, they had a decision to make. Do they listen and follow the call of God with all of its uncertainty? Or do they listen to that voice of fear? Now, I would argue that is the tension that we all live with every single day, isn't it? Do we live in fear or do we live in faith? What are the voices that we're going to listen to? Do we listen to the voice of fear, that voice of doubt that is constantly whispering in our ear and saying things like, "You can't," or "You shouldn't," or maybe even worst of all, "What if?" Or in those instances, do we put down the newspaper? Do we turn off the TV? Do we listen in faith for that still, small, quiet voice of God? The voice that promises, wherever you go, wherever your feet land, I'll be with you. You don't have to be imprisoned by fear any longer. I would argue, church, that that is the invitation before us this day. To take that next step. To leap, even though we may not know where our feet will land. And to recognize that for some of us, that is an enormous step. For some, it might even be the first step. I remember hearing a story one time about a hotel that had beautiful grounds and amazing gardens, and they created a pathway so that people could walk through those gardens. Now, they wanted to be good stewards and save some money and energy, so they put some lights on the motion sensor. They wanted to try and encourage their guests to enjoy the grounds, even at night. And so they posted a sign that read, there at the start of the path, with your first step into the darkness, the lights will come on. With your first step into the darkness, the lights will come on. Isn't that the promise of faith? Isn't that the invitation from God to leap even when you're not sure where your feet will land? To take the next step, to trust that even if we can't see the whole staircase, that even if it's dark, the lights will come on. That's the invitation from God to take the next step, to no longer be held captive by fear, but instead to live in faith, trusting in the goodness and in the generosity of God. God, based on your goodness in my life, what do you want to do through me? Where do you want me to be in my giving? May we, as a community of faith, be willing to take the next step, to leap, even if we're not sure where our feet will land, to take that first step, even if we can't see the whole staircase, and to trust that with our first step into the darkness, the lights will come on.